up and rewind in your mind what's already been said. Because last week we started talking about the fact that this thing that we're part of, right, that we're called not just to be members of a local church. We're not just called to be members who attend a service weekly. That's not it. But we are actually a family, and we're going to talk a bit more today about what that means and what that looks like, because as I walked away last Sunday and we had that conversation about what our obligations are as family, that we're obligated to love and that we're obligated to make sure that we are pushing each other to become our best selves and that we are carrying each other's burdens, I realized that everybody in here has a different family experience. That the family I grew up in might not necessarily be the family you grew up in. And so every time we hear family, we are naturally going to think about family in the context that we came to understand it. And so if I grew up in a family that really was not connected, but my family was disconnected, when I come to church and some bald-headed dude stands on a platform and begins to talk about we are connected because we're family, you look at me like I got three heads, because to you that means absolutely nothing. It's aspirational. I wanted to belong to a family like that. I saw families like that on TV, may have even had as part of my extended network families like that, but I have nothing empirically in my life that I can say I came from a family like that, so I learned that. But what we have to understand is whether we grew up in a family like that and everybody didn't and everybody doesn't, or whether we absolutely have in our understanding that I am uniquely connected to somebody else by blood. That can't nobody else get in between what we have, because God did that. Here's the wonderful thing about being part of this thing that we are part of, this living thing that is the body of Christ, that whether or not you grew up in a connected family, whether or not you grew up in something where you could look around and know that somebody always had your back, that they were going to love you in spite of you sometimes, that they were going to help you carry your burdens in your most dire times of need, and that somebody was always going to be looking out for whether you grew up like that or not. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. It is God's intention that when we give ourselves to Him, that we have now become part of that kind of thing. And so when we start talking about making disciples, wait, we've got to make sure that we are first living it out and becoming that ourselves, and God has given us this space in order to work that out. So if I came from the most jacked up of situations, if I'd never want to talk about or go back to that again, God has given us all not only the opportunity, but the space and the obligation to not only learn what it looks like to be part of something like that, but commands that we actually live so. And the amazing thing, as we look at Scripture, and we begin to look at it through that lens, it is hard to find a place in the Bible where God is not encouraging and or admonishing us to live right with each other. To make sure that I'm loving you, to make sure that I am helping you carry your burdens, to make sure that I am pushing you to be the best version of yourself, to make sure that I am encouraging you. Because that's what it means to be, and I'm going to use a word that I sometimes, because of the way we use it, cringe to use, a member. But it's all right to use the word member, because God uses the word member about us. that we are members. There are two places I want to go this morning, and this is going to be a bit free-flowing because these are the overflow of thoughts, the stuff that I couldn't fit in the time that I had last week. These are the overflow of thoughts about what this thing that we're part of, and it's not inorganic. It's not. This is living. As we are living, it is living. So I don't want you to hear me saying it and thinking something that is dead, static. It's dynamic. As we grow, it grows. As we move, it moves. As we expand and contract, it expands and contracts because it is us. I want you to go first with me. I'm going to flip this. We're going to go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. Now, I really want to get to verse 3, but I'm going to start at verse 1 because I want you to hear the whole thought. Because the stuff that we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, most of us know. And most of us probably know it by heart. Right? But I want you to see, because remember, when we read scripture, we read it with this Western contemporary model and the way it's been laid out for us, right? So we believe that when Paul sat down, Paul wrote chapter 12, verse number 1, verse number 2. No, Paul wrote a letter. And Paul wrote a letter to try to express some thoughts, but scholars over time have tried to, I assume, to make it easier for us to digest. They have taken it upon themselves to kind of group these things together in chapter and in verse. And then, depending on what Bible you're reading, it'll give you some captions for paragraphs. Well, Paul didn't write titles for paragraphs in his letter. Paul wrote a letter. And so I think it's important before I jump into verse number 3 that I begin at verse number 1 in chapter 12. Yeah, you're saying, well, if it's a letter, why are you not starting at chapter 1, verse 1? And my response is, don't tempt me. Chapter 12, verse number 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now watch this. So we all read that and we all understand that and we all talk about, yes, I am supposed to give myself. I am not supposed to be subject to the dictates, the mandates, the way the world has done things, because God has actually made me different. And what Paul is saying to the hearers in Rome, Paul is saying to them that we ought to be willing to sacrifice who I am for the greater that God has in store for me, that I am actually, as I change the way I think, I myself am going to be transformed. And watch this, all the stuff that I know to be good and right, that is going to be the way I begin to orient my life as I begin to think differently. But then we typically stop there and we try to make everything stand on its own or stand apart from the whole. But the very next verse, Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Here we go. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we being the body of Christ, so we being the church universal and the church local, so we put the slop where the hogs can get it. So we Harvest Christian Fellowship. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. Watch this. And individually, members of one another. So what Paul is leading us to understand is that I have to change the way I think about who I am and how I orient myself as a part or as part of this thing called church. That I need to begin to think about me as a member, as part of any local church or the church universal. I have to think about me at the same way I would think about one of the members of my body. And I can't anymore remove myself from being an inextricably bound part of a local church than I can cutting off a part of my body. We are that connected to each other. In fact, before I read the second verse that I want to read, I've given you point number one. We are in an inescapable relationship with each other. Just as my body has many members, so we, though many, how many of y'all who were in here before you started coming here knew everybody in here? How many of y'all knew half the folk in here? How many of y'all ain't know nobody in here till you started coming here? Right? How many of y'all brought somebody with you? Amen. So you knew somebody, but nobody knew everybody. But now you feel like you know a whole lot of bodies. And watch this, because here's the point. Even though I know some better than I know others, even though I may have a better or deeper or stronger or longer relationship with some than I do others, it doesn't make me any less connected to the others. And I can't escape my connection with any of you, even if I wanted to. Why? Because we were all baptized with the same baptism, right? We have all confessed faith in the same Lord. We all have received the same Spirit. And when that happens, it puts us in this relationship that I cannot, let me put the other qualifier on it, and should not have desire to escape from. Any more than I can disconnect myself from some part of my body. That's what it means to be church family. That's what it ought to mean. And I want to take us to the other place because I'll get caught in that and this will turn into Bible study real quick. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. So point number one, we are in this inescapable relationship with each other. Think about that. So I ought to want to get to know you more. Right? Why? Because I can't get rid of you. And the problem I think that we have in the local church in 2019, and this isn't a 2019 problem, but it is a problem we still deal with in 2019, is we believe that we can escape relationship in church. Right? And so we one of the easiest ways for us to do it now, I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands, I'm going to put this out there, right? If I don't like the relationships I have here, what do I do? Right? If I don't like the relationships I have here, it's easy for me, watch this, it's easy for me to stop going here and go across the street. And I can stay there for a period of time until those relationships begin to wear on me. And then what do? I leave there and go down the block. And I stay there for a period of time, and I wear out those relationships there as well. Because watch this, them people over there was crazy, and the people over there was crazy. And now these people here are working my nerves, so now what am I going to do? I'm going to get up. And the problem is, I keep taking the problem everywhere I go. Because everybody in that church only became crazy when I got there. Right? But if you think about what we talked about last week, and if you think about the way this ought to change the way we look at ourselves in relationship to each other in the body of Christ, that is the church, Paul said you can't escape these relationships. And that you ought to be willing to submit yourself to thinking differently. Stop thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But you ought to understand that you, just like everybody else here, is here for a purpose. That you have something that you are actually being asked by God to contribute to the whole. And there is, watch this, there is nothing anybody does in here that is greater than what anybody else does. Let me say it again. There is nothing that anybody does in here. Hello, preacher. There is nothing that anybody does in here. Hey, pastor. There's nothing that anybody does in here that is greater than what anybody else does. Y'all don't believe me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Beginning at verse number 12. Watch this. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, there it is, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Here we go. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them. As he chose. We don't get to choose. So think about that. And because we don't get to choose, we ought not believe that we get to exalt one above the other, because God created them all. And God created them. Think about it. Everybody loves being the head. I know someone who, due to illness, was an amazing story as I walked with this person who's close to me, as I walk with this person close to me through this illness. And the illness caused the person to lose a toe. And then the person went from losing a toe, and it was amazing, because the first toe the person lost was their small toe. And now most folk think it's a pinky toe. It you can't bend it really, it doesn't do anything, but to watch them have to learn how to walk again and how difficult it was to actually stay upright and balanced because they lost what we think is the most wee all the way home, right? That's that one. And then the next one they lost was the big toe. And now, all of a sudden, standing, you have to learn differently because you don't realize. So think about it. Everybody want to be the head until you realize how important that small toe is. Everybody wants to be the eyes until you realize my eyes are no good to me if I can't stand. My eyes are no good to me if I can't walk towards what it is my eyes are showing me. And so if God is the one who arranges us all together in the body, not only are we connected to each other, but we have to understand that each one of us is important to the whole. That's the second point. That I cannot think of myself as being any more important than anybody else in here. I'm just different. Period. But everybody in here ought to be scratching and scraping in the same manner to make everybody around here understand just how important you are to me. So I need to make sure you're eating. I need to make sure that you feel that you are whole in and of yourself. What your needs are have to be my needs as well. Not only because I'm in a relationship with you that I ought not have a desire to get myself out of, but because I need you. That's family. And we're not going to talk about it today because I could go into it forever. But when Paul talks in the book of Ephesians about striving for unity in the body, because we understand there are illnesses, autoimmune disorders, that make your body literally fight against itself. And you are watching the very thing that God created to glorify Him tear itself up. That body picture for the body of Christ is powerful in the same way. That I ought to know that you are as connected to me as my ear is to my head, and no more than I would cut off my own ear, I ought not do anything but desire God's best for you. Because we're connected. And see, we'll do that for mama and daddy, sister and brother, husband and wife, daughter and son. But we forget that we have the same charge to each other as the body of Christ. Let me read just a little bit more of this, and then we're going to go to the last point. And then, believe it or not, we are done. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body, watch this, that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Then he says, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So in other words, Paul ends by saying, so listen, I just gave you a whole picture of how this church thing is supposed to work out. I just gave you a whole picture about how you ought to transform your mind and your understanding about how you are interconnected with each other. You are God's body. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you has been chosen by God to His glory for a particular fit and use inside the body. Praise God. And what we ought be doing, go back to last week, what we ought be doing is pushing and moving each of us not only to find what that is, but to live it out to the glory of God wheresoever you may be. Here's the problem with the local church. We try to make everybody find their four walls ministry. What are you going to do in here? Can you ush? Because if you can ush, then you can be an usher. Right? If you can teach, you can be a teacher. If you can play, you can be a musician. I don't know how that works. A player. But I didn't really want to say you could be a player in church because we don't want no players in church. Amen. Amen. Right? But everybody has a unique role to fill. And none is greater than the other. And so my encouragement has to always be, go get it. Your role may simply be to make sure your hind parts are here every week to get what you need, because Monday cometh. Amen. And when Monday comes, God is then activating your ministry. Your ministry is not here. My primary ministry is right here, making sure everybody got what they need to go get their primary ministry done. But everybody's primary ministry is not in here. Somebody's primary ministry is going to start tomorrow morning. And so we ought to be encouraging one. Watch this. Somebody's primary ministry is to be the best daddy to your children you can be. And so we got everybody twisted and messed up trying to find what is my four walls ministry when, watch this, God's church ain't never had walls. And his call to all of us has always been to first be disciples and then go make disciples. But we got the game messed up. We've got the game messed up. Point one, we're in an inescapable relationship. Point two, each of us is important to the whole. Point three, and we just heard it in the text, we will share each other's highs and lows. Verse number 26, if any one member suffers, all suffer together. If any one member is honored, all rejoice together. We don't hate on each other. Why? Because we're one body. How many folk have walked in a room and you spent all this time on your hair and somebody looked at you and said, nice shoes? Watch this. Did you smile when they said nice shoes? Absolutely. Why? Because, and I'm going to use bad English, because them your shoes, right? You put those shoes on, and those shoes, in all their glory, glorify your body, and your hair does not start screaming, look at me, look at me, look at me. Why the shoes getting all the shine? Get it, shoe shine? Why the shoes getting all the shine? Look at me. No. If one is honored, we all are honored. But if one is hurting, we all hurt. Anybody ever had back pain to the point that you can't stand up straight? Foot pain to the point that you just want to lay in bed all day? Right. If one suffers, we all suffer. But only when we see our connection to each other. So what we just did this morning for a family that is part of our church, that ought to be the regular. And watch this, it ought to be happening so much that most of the time we don't know it's happening.
Amen.
Right? Because watch, if my right hand itches, my foot ain't got to know my left hand scratched it. All my body wants to know is that some part of my body took care of the need that was somewhere else in my body.
Amen.
I ain't got to, it should not be, and there will be times like this one when it's an all hands on deck. Everybody needs to come and get a piece of this work right here. But sometimes it's simply going to be wherever you are, whoever is closest, get the job done. Because whenever you do it, we all look good. Because I have to be as invested in your success as I am in my own. Why? Because if we live, we live together. And if we die together. Because we're one body. So today we celebrated some highs, right? We said, yay, there's a couple that's engaged. And everybody was like, yay, right? We got couples who are having children, and everybody's like, yay. We got couples whose kids are graduating and moving out the house, and everybody's like, ah. Right? Because we rejoice with each other. And that's as it should be. So I'm done, but here's what I miss. When we first